The reading prior to this morning's message is from Credo, a collection of writings by the great and recently deceased Reverend William Sloan Kaufman. The longtime chaplain at Yale University and at Riverside Memorial Church in New York. And Bill Kaufman says, "God is the source of life. It is self-destructive to put our trust elsewhere. If giving causes more pain than pleasure, it is not our money, but our faith that is insufficient." End of the reading. I bring you greetings from Third Unitarian Church of Chicago, where we flatter ourselves by calling us the liberal faith of urban ministry in the city of Chicago. And we offer our thanks to you for your great ministry here on the banks of the Mississippi. I'm a person who hails from one of the towns in the United States where the name Elijah Parish Lovejoy really does mean something. I'm from Waterville, Maine, and that is, of course, the home of Colby College, where he was a graduate of. And so I plan on spending some time this afternoon walking around here and getting a sense of this town that meant so much, obviously, to him and was a statement of prophetic ministry in and of itself. So I'd like to ask, prior to getting into some of the technical aspects of the sermon, I'd like to ask, how is it with your spirit this morning? And how does this church connect you to the sacred, or that which is larger than you are? And does it help you help those who are truly in need? Now, Kleber told me that we're recording this sermon, and that's really good news for me and my pledge committee, and I'm about to tell you why. We have a pledge drive, as do you and all of our liberal churches here, and we have to make up significant deficit from our endowment losses. We lost about 44% of a $750,000 endowment, and we really have to make that up and try to make it up this spring. And I'm happy to report that we're actually doing pretty well with all of that. And so, even though we're making some traction, in our finance committee meetings, the mood of self-congratulation changes when we're deciding how to spend our money next year. Because if our needs are basically the same as last year, we're cool. We're good to go. But can we fund to support the growth to which we're committed? That's the question. And so, when we met up to talk about this last week, after we were congratulating ourselves over the success that we've had up to this point, there was silence in the room. And then the treasurer says, "What is it about a budget that takes the fun out of money?" And the folks, of course, when they're in doubt or in travail, they look at me. And this is what it felt like to me, and I reminded them a story about the John Kennedy campaign in 1960. You know that those of you who were there at the time or have read about it, remember that there was this undercurrent of the father, Joseph P. Kennedy, buying the presidency for his son, Jack. And there was this grim moment during the primaries where they realized that they'd need to spend a lot more on staff and on advertising if they were going to win. And so someone asked in the meeting, "Is there enough cash? Do we have enough cash here?" And Joe Kennedy looks at his son and looks at his hands and says, "I don't know. I don't know if we have enough cash." And then all eyes turned to Jack Kennedy, who then looked at his elderly father and said, "Dad, there's only one solution here. Get out there right now and make some more dough." And so naturally, and in that spirit, the finance committee, Brian, they said, "Brian, what are you going to do to get us out of this mess?" Well, what else are ministers for? To get the congregation out of their messes. And I'm going to tell them they have to cough up the cash right now. And I'm so mad about this that I'm going to stand up in front of a congregation in Alton and tell them this is not going to play. This is not acceptable. And now, here's the part about recording the service that I'm thrilled about. We're going to take that MP3, I'm going to put it on a disc, and then put it in the mailbox of the president of the church when I come back on Tuesday in a place where she'll never see it. And when she looks to find it, I'll be on vacation. As we know, these are tough times. And there's not a single religious leader in our country, across our entire religious diversity, that is exempt from this reality. I have a friend who's a rabbi in an Orthodox Jewish congregation in Ohio that has just put its $5 million building campaign on hold. Its endowment has taken worse of a hit than ours. 20% of their 10-person board of trustees have lost their jobs. I have a pastor friend at a Southern Baptist church. Yes, it's possible for a Unitarian to have a friend who's a Southern Baptist. Down in Mississippi, who was forced to lay off the same Sunday school staffers they hired last year to handle their growth in that great program. And they might have to pay the minister what they did in 1997, and that was before he and his wife had three kids. Everyone, young adults to retirees, is anxious, and with reason. And I bet you've seen it here. I've seen people in my congregation in the prime of their lives who have lost their job or have their salaries frozen. The pension payments of many of the people in my congregations have been lost, reduced, somehow cut in half. And for young adults, an article in USA Today last May said that 9 out of 10 consumers in their 30s are in debt. 9 out of 10. 20% of this group, according to this article, is still paying off their college loans. And 45% in one survey said they had too much debt to even think about saving. The church giving consultant Brad Leeper says, and I believe he's right when he says this, why do we think that if these folks can't save, they'll have any money to give, no matter how great the cause is? But I believe as real as this news is, it can also be a distraction for congregations. Those who study giving, like the Center of Philanthropy at Indiana University, say that since the Depression, giving to congregations has grown, or at least remained steady, even in the hardest of times since the 1930s. And even in the 30s, people gave to places closest to their values, closest to their heart. Now, members of the Central Midwest District Board, on which Cheryl Tucker Lowy and I serve, heard a few weeks ago that pledging across the district is at least as good as last year, and in some cases, it's even up. Now, as I mentioned at Third Church, we have audacious goals. In the midst of this economy, we're trying to raise 25% more than we did last year, and that we feel that we have to support our new mission vision plan. Now, the wheels could very easily fall off, but 2 weeks into the drive, we're a third of the way there. So here is the other message for today, friends. The recession, as you know, is real. But for supporting the church, it can be a distraction. God, and if not God for you, an unnamed mystery, is the source of our vitality. You have put your faith here. If giving causes you more pain than pleasure, it isn't your money, but your faith that is insufficient. At all of our churches all over the country, in any faith, there are folks right now who are giving as much as they can, and bless them for it, because they are examples and they can't be asked to give more. And so when I ask, how is it with your spirit? In a sermon about money, I'm being entirely intentional. Connecting generosity to spiritual depth is the central work of this church. Now, I know Kleber Van Zandt somewhat, and I know he's got a wonderful and dry sense of humor, and I bet he's going to be the first person to laugh when I heard this latest joke about the UU Trinity. Number one, we love Birkenstocks. Number two, we listen to NPR all the time. Number three, we let go nickels like they were manhole covers. In other words, I heard the board chair at Unity Temple say last week, and it was her that said this, not me, "Brethren, thou art cheap." As UUs, we are prisoners, I believe, of a culture of low expectations. In too many of our congregations, perhaps not this one, but in too many of our churches, we say, come on in. Do what you'd like. Give as little as you'd like. And I believe that we won't survive even past the 21st century to transform hearts and minds and the world outside our doors into the one we want to see. We're a place where peace and justice is the rule and not the exception. If we give just a little, if we care just a little. We are not the theological version of Target. Expect more, but pay less. We should expect more from our faith when we are ready to give more to it. Now, I have a minister friend, 40 years in this business, and he likes this phrase, hypocrisy, as it applies to liberal faith. He says, hypocrisy to me is touching, because people are lying to be seen as they want to be seen, not who they are. And I agree. But at times, that's how I feel about this movement, and not just this movement, about me. I struggle to meet up and to live up to the principles and purposes. Am I alone? I don't believe so. Pastor Van Sant made a cutting remark about liturgical dance just a while ago, and it made me think about Twyla Tharp. When government funding for the arts was cut back in the 1980s, she said, the disaster is not that the money is going, although the money will be missed. The disaster is the disrespect. This belief that the arts are indispensable, or rather dispensable, and we can throw them away, and they're not critical to a culture's existence, when of course that they are. So I believe you can take that quote and insert liberal religion for arts, and insert your name for culture, and it has the same meaning. This belief that liberal religion is dispensable and that they're not critical to your existence. Now, I have a challenge. Now, the chair or the person who might be the chair of your stewardship committee, I understand his name is John. Is he here right now? He's right behind, okay. Hi, John.
Hello.
All right. Is the chair or somebody who's on the finance committee, is he here or she? Anyone's on the finance committee. Notice how everyone backs away from that at pledge time. Oh, there's a person on the finance committee.
Jerry.
Okay, Jerry. Okay. I'm estimating the value of my trip down here for gas and tolls, the cost of my hotel last night, and the meal last night, which I had at Culver's, and your regular speaker's fee. And I want you to put that to my pledge to First Church Alton for this year. Okay? Now, John, I want you to send me a letter for next year. And I want you to send it for next year, but you send it next week to me at Third Unitarian Church of Chicago. Kleber is going to give you the address. And I'll send it back with a promise that you can take to the bank. Brad Leeper and others are right. Our culture works overtime to separate our faith from our finances. And so now is the time to consider what is actually discretionary in your life, other than food and shelter, and just how that money speaks for your soul. Now is the time. Where are your values? We sang in the opening hymn, "For all life is a gift, which we are called to share, to build the common good, and to make our own days glad." If the church is indispensable in connecting you to the sacred in your life, how can you be anything but grateful? If it helps you make an impact in the world, of course you'll be generous. I'm thinking of a woman at my church right now. We're in a largely African-American neighborhood. She's lived there and her family's lived there for three generations now. She's living on federal assistance with three kids. She is my example of giving. She can't give money, but she teaches a yoga class. She helps out in religious education. She supports us with potluck. The church is right there at the center of her life. It's not so much about money, but generosity. Now, if First Church Alton doesn't do this for you as yet. You are absolutely entitled to make it so. You're putting it on the right tack just by asking, there is real injustice, there is real unmerited pain out there, and how can we as a church address it? This place is as spirit-filled and as relevant as you want it to be. You put your faith here. If giving causes more pain than pleasure, it isn't your money, but your faith that's insufficient. And as they say in my corner of the hood, I believe that your values are right on time. And may our faith be sufficient for your life, and then some. May it be enough to meet the challenges of our day and of this place. And so now is the time to make your gifts as sufficient as that faith. Amen, and may it be so.